Alrighty, good morning here. It is 9/11 as we go throughout a Monday edition of the program. And as we do the second Monday of the month, we get to talk with John Vest of the Coffeyville Amateur Radio Club. Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Good. Doing great. How are you doing this
morning? Hey, doing well. Great to have you on board along here on a Monday. So we have lots of stuff going on, and it's kind of fun as we get into all these different fall events. I know I got to check out Dalton Defenders Days. A lot of people got to hear it, just even if you weren't there.
Yeah.
So that was a good time. And we are coming up on another Amateur Radio Club meeting that is going to be tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at the Reawakening Center in downtown Coffeyville.
And I want to remind everyone, as we're dealing with some of those facade issues downtown, use the back entrance. There's more parking back there anyway.
Yeah.
So
it's just as close.
Yeah. So there's lots of parking in the back there. That's a big old parking lot. And you can just come right in the back door. It's well labeled, so you can easily find it. So if anyone is looking at joining in on the meeting, and I know we're continuing to talk and make plans for various events and activities coming up. I know that we do have, coming up in January, Winter Field Day, which we may discuss a little bit, as that is on the way. And like we had our Summer Field Day, the Winter Field Day is another event to kind of get out and about and enjoy some ham radio, just in a little bit of a different setting.
Yeah, a little bit chillier setting.
That's right. I know. And in fact, John, I was at there was a ham fest in Wichita this past weekend. And so I was actually at that. And got to check that out there. So we had folks from all over the place. And in fact, the Midwest Division Director came all the way down from, I think he's in Nebraska or something like that.
Yeah, Nebraska.
So he came all the way down for that. So there was some dignitaries there for sure. So, and you're saying, what's a ham fest? Well, maybe, John, if you want to explain. I know it seems like we do this every time, but I know we always have new folks listening.
Well, unfortunately, it's not ham sandwiches.
No, there's usually not ham available. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Usually not.
It is where ham radio operators or just general public go, and they can buy and sell all sorts of things. Everything from ham radios to whatnots. They have arts and crafts at these also. People can go and buy about anything you want to buy at them.
Well, ironically, I end up kind of buying a lot of things for work there, because I found a phone flasher and various parts and pieces for the radio station that I end up seeing at great prices. That's the other thing is, typically, you know, everyone's familiar with eBay and buying stuff off there. And you pay for that convenience.
Yes.
For sure. So I've noticed it at a ham fest. A lot of times people are very motivated to get rid of things.
Yes.
Because they don't want to pack them up again.
Right. So. Yeah, because it takes a while to unpack the stuff, put it on the tables, and then you're there for a day and a half, and you're wanting to get home, and you don't want to pack everything up, so you want to sell it as quick as you can.
That's right. Jesse Gilmore was over there from K-State Research and Extension, too, so I got to meet up with him, and he was having some good luck selling a few of the items he brought along, too. So it was a good time, and spent a little money, and that's what it's all about. So a good face-to-face time that you can meet and talk with people and learn something about the hobby. So
right.
We have that coming up at our meeting that gets started at 7 o'clock right here in downtown Coffeyville. And in addition, we do have testing available. Now, we do need a little bit of notice on that.
Yes.
But, John, as you may, I know you've mentioned before, you know, this is a hobby that does require a little bit of legwork, but it's not hard to get your license.
No, it's very easy anymore to get your license. You just have to know the fundamentals of electronics, and which is not that much of a big thing. It's not something that you have to know equations or anything like that for. You can sit and study and learn it in just a matter of hours, and you can then take your test and boom, you're on the radio. And we also are right now still giving away a radio, a handheld radio, if you get your license. So that's a pretty good deal. I mean, getting a radio free of charge, and I mean, it will get you right on the air basically immediately.
Yeah, no, it's a great program. And so, yeah, we'll help you out with that. You can get you some money towards that radio. And it's a really, we're living a day and age where the barrier to entry is quite low. I mean, it used to be that, yeah, you'd have to back in the day, oftentimes people would end up building their own equipment.
Yes.
And we're now where you can get a very good, high quality radio that'll get you plugged into the local repeaters and all that sort of thing for a very low price. And another thing that is, if you are out and about traveling around, you get to meet new people on the airwaves, and it's an open system to be able to talk all over. So we're very excited with that. And you know, we'll also, if you're interested in any sort of emergency communication, we have a lot of our membership, honestly, are also involved in like volunteer fire and that sort of thing.
Yes.
Too.
And ambulance. And we have, you know, a couple of members that are ambulance crew, and
you have at least one EMT. Nurse. I always feel very safe when I'm at the meeting, because if anything's going to happen, we've got people who are very well trained, much better than I am, to take care of first responding duties.
Right, and it's not like you're going to go out here and get electrocuted on what you're doing either. So
yeah, the modern stuff is a lot more lower voltage. You know, I work on some of the older radios, and I tell people, you know, this is not kid stuff. You got to you're supposed to keep one hand in your pocket. That way, if you get shocked, it doesn't go through your heart. And they kind of look at me, and I'm like, yeah, it's you're talking 700 volts DC on some of this stuff. And this was like stuff that back in the 50s, you know, 13-year-olds put together. So the times have changed a little bit. We always want to be safe. So, but yeah, well, we're going to be going over a few different odds and ends. And in the past couple weeks or a couple months, we've had folks bring some equipment out to kind of swap shop too. So if you're looking for some equipment, we always encourage folks to, you know, bring that out, and you never know, you might be able to strike up a deal. So that's some good stuff. So in addition, we're also looking for anyone who is interested in, yeah, maybe some of that emergency communication, volunteer sort of thing. We're working on, you know, trying to make our county better and help out in that regard, because we always need a backup plan, because, you know, our police radios and stuff are great. We use them all day long. But if something were to happen, we definitely are in a position where we need that emergency communication here in Montgomery County and the surrounding counties.
Yes, because if our towers go down, then there's no communications basically for law enforcement or fire, and we have the capability of going right in and just boom, setting right up and having it immediately.
Well, and John, you were talking a real life situation where you actually ended up doing this out in Greensburg, where the towers were all down, including I think even some of the repeaters, but a portable repeater was set up. You want to talk a little bit about that?
We went out to Greensburg to do emergency communications, and while we were out there, one of the repeater went down, and they set up a makeshift repeater with an antenna, and it was set up within about 20 minutes, and we had it going, and everybody had communications again. But during that time, most of the law enforcement and ambulance and stuff like that was out there, all those crews could not talk to each other or back and forth to each other on their radios, because their radios depended on a repeater to send it through. And we were able to go immediately. We were able to go to Simplex and not have to worry about going through a repeater. But we got another repeater up for them to be able to communicate through.
Well, and that's a really good real-life scenario, I think, because we kind of live in a day and age where we're maybe a little more comfortable than we should be when it comes to our communications. You know, everyone's used to having a cell phone in their pocket. You pick it up and you can call whoever you want. But that's all reliant on, you know, towers being up and available and them having power and them having emergency power if you know, the power lines go down. And so when it's all said and done, you know, we have towers within each county for, you know, cell phones, and then towers also for those emergency, you know, first responders, you know, the EMS, fire, police, they communicate through. But if something happens to that tower, if that gets hit by a tornado, there's some counties around that maybe all their stuff is kind of on one tower, and they're not able. If that goes down, that's a single point of failure.
Well, and out there, it was, the whole town was demolished. There was the courthouse that was still standing partway, and then there was a couple of other small buildings and maybe two houses. It demolished that whole town. It was unreal.
Yeah, no, and so that's something that, you know, we at our weather meeting that we had this past Wednesday, you know, they made the good point that I hadn't really thought of, but they're talking about vulnerable communities. I'm like, okay, you know, but anyone can be vulnerable in seconds.
Yes.
And so that's something that you don't really think about is, you know, you can become a vulnerable community, you know, member of that community. And if we have something happen. So that's why, you know, the amateur radio is great because, you know, we have the ability to, you know, some people might say hack. Things,
yeah.
You know, we can actually go out and we can set up our own equipment. We can make our own equipment and we can homebrew and get a system going and have it ready to deploy.
And the thing, same thing happened over in Joplin in, I believe it was 2011 when they had their tornado. It wiped out all of the towers over there and they were unable to communicate. And we set up over there. It was a group from I believe Pittsburgh that did the first part of the setup, and I went over there on the third day, and I was over there for 3 days. So,
yeah, no, there's definitely. I know you've been to a lot of these disasters and gotten to see, you know, firsthand some of the problems and some of the solutions and everything. So that's an important part of ham radio. We have situations all across the U.S. where a ham radio ends up helping people, saving lives. You know, that's what it's all about, in my opinion, you know, being able to give back and help the public. You know, we're not in this to be making money. We can't make money.
No.
By law. It's
right.
It's a law. This is just about, you know, helping the community and, you know, being able to enjoy some of these frequencies that we're licensed to be able to operate.
Right. And I have actually gotten emails wanting me to go out of the country when they have hurricanes and stuff in the Dominican Republic and places like that to help set up communications. And of course I can't do it. My physical condition won't let me do it anymore, but I get those emails every time there's something like that happens.
Sure. And then too, there's also the, you know, more on a U.S. scale, the Hurricane Watch Net has been active, you know, since we've had a pretty busy late hurricane season here. So, you know, they'll be on the air 24 hours a day during hurricanes, and people can contact them and they can relay emergency information all over the place.
Well, when Hurricane Katrina hit, I was down at my brother's house, and we had communications with people down there, and we actually directed some of the people to some of the first responders to places where people were stuck on roofs.
Yeah, all the way from you know, halfway across the country.
Yeah.
And that's the thing people might kind of scratch their heads at. It's like, you know what, you're actually able to communicate that far? And it is, because depending on what kind of equipment you're using, we've got kind of these handheld radios we can use around town and around the county. But you also have radios that are set up with much bigger antennas.
Yes.
That can communicate all over the place. Every week, actually, I talk with a guy from Arkansas. And we have pretty reliable communication between here and Arkansas with a very basic antenna on both of our ends.
Yes.
But we actually do old school radio teletype back and forth. We just type it out and we talk to each other that way. And it's we do it every week. We have a SCED, where this is what we call it, a schedule. Where we just meet on a specific frequency at a specific time, and we just get to chat and
send packets.
Yeah, they've got that too. So
yep.
Yeah, we've got all sorts of fun different ways to communicate. So if anything of this you know, kind of sparks any interest in you, things that might be neat, just to be able to communicate with your family, because I know we got lots of family members around who are licensed and they can talk back and forth. Even if you're just caravanning somewhere, it's kind of handy. Easier than picking up the phone and calling back and forth. And sometimes that's, you know, not even legal to do. This is legal with, you know, there's provisions in various state laws to be able to use a handheld,
yes,
radio. So, you know, you can even do that if you're on a trip somewhere. So John, if people are interested, how can they learn more about the club?
They can go to our Facebook page, or they can go to our website, which is
CoffeevilleARC.org.
Yeah, I was trying to think.
Yep.
And they can call me 24 hours a day or text me at 620-515-0097.
And you reply, I'm always kind of surprised to text you, oh, I didn't think he's up. And he is.
Yep.
So, all righty, John. Well, we appreciate coming in again. We got the meeting coming up tomorrow, 7 o'clock. Coffeeville's Reawakening there on 9th Street. And park behind. So just go in that big parking lot, and you'll be able to find it. So 7 o'clock, and hope anyone and everyone who is interested at all can make it out there. We get you some of your questions answered.
That's right. Maybe get you on the air.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun time. Well, John, thank you for coming in. Appreciate it. Good to see you as always. Thank you for the donuts. We appreciate that too.
Well, I'd like to thank KGGF for giving us this time every month on the air. That way we can get some more people interested and get more people into the club.
Absolutely. Some fun stuff coming up. So thanks so much, John, and I'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Have a good day.
Okay, that is John Vest from the Coffeyville Amateur Radio Club. More open line just minutes away here on KGGF.